Hi. Hi, everybody. yes. So talking about debug packages and distributing debug packages today. So my name is Morten Linderud. I go by the nickname of Foxboron on the internet. I have been a contributor to the Arch Linux distribution since 2016. I'm doing sort of open source development since, I don't know, 2013. I do sort of security teamwork, reproducible builds, and I care sort of about usable security, supply chain security, and all of that stuff, and a lot of secure boots. But today I'm going to sort of talk about what I've been spending sort of 2 years of my life working on, which is debug packages in Arch Linux. So in, let's scale this correctly. So one of the sort of, normally when you sort of get some crashes at some point, you will see this fancy little stack trace. And if you use systemd, you will at some point have the crash handlers getting you the seg faults, which happens. And then you can sort of just debug this with GDB. And if you do look at the backtrace, you just see nonsense. There's nothing here that makes sense at all. You can't figure out what happened, you don't know what crashed, and you like have no idea. So if you actually do this on an Arch Linux system today, what you'll actually see is not that nonsense backtrace. You'll instead see, and you'll instead get this, which has a lot more information. You'll see what happened, what crashed it, you'll get all the symbols, and you did nothing. You did not download any debug packages, you didn't think about it, it just happens behind the scenes. And if we ask what actually happened, you see that there's some internal syscall that crashed it. So this is super nice. This is a lot better than sort of what the debugging experience has been on Arch Linux previously. And it took me, I don't know, two and a half years implementing a little bit on and off. So why do we care about debug packages? So if we, for instance, have Pacman, which is a fairly sort of simple and small binary, it's like half a meg of size if you build it. But if you strip away all the debug information, you can almost half the size. Which is nice, so if you don't need all of that information on your disk, it's nice to sort of have some space savings. And in more like extreme cases, like in KiCad, had some zone name inside of Python, it's like half a gig. And if you strip away the debug information, it's 33 megabytes. It's sort of nice to sort of have the opportunity to still sort of debug all of this. And these can all be sort of very large. So what people do instead is that GDB implements what we call detached debug symbols, and that allows us to sort of separate out the debug symbols from the binaries and sort of relink it together on the system. And one of the sort of key elements for this is this fancy little build ID which gets stamped into every binary on your system. And we use that to sort of link, we define the build ID, we can make some standard directory on your system. We can split out the debug symbols from the binary, move it to that directory, add some debug link to the binary, and everything just works. It will be as if as the debug sections were still on the binaries. And this is nice, and this is sort of what Debian, Ubuntu, Fedora, all of them do to make those debug packages. And that's nice. One of the things that you saw in the demonstration is that we also have the source code of the binaries. And that's more of a hack, which some distributions have support for and some distribution doesn't support. So Debian and Ubuntu does not have source listings, I believe, while Fedora, SUSE, and now Arch as well has source listings. And the way this sort of works is sort of you do a little bit of hacking. So if we build Pacman just normally, and we run GDB on it, and we ask what the sources were, you'll have your embedded project path in those binaries. So what you can do then instead is to use debug edit. Historically, this has been part of the RPM upstream. So Pacman didn't want to have a dependency on RPM to support debug packages, which is a bit weird. But this was split out now into a separate project in 2021, which is now a separate project, which is quite nice, and it makes more sort of accessible for other package managers. So instead of sort of using the current working directory to embed stuff, we can rewrite all of those paths inside the binary to some standardized path on the file system. So in Arch, we use source debug, and then we do namespacing, so we can have sources from multiple versions of Pacman. And if you sort of do this DOMS, you'll have rewritten all of those source listings, which is part of the binary, which is super nice. And then you can sort of get all the source code associated with the binary. So before debug edit was available as a sort of normal thing, Pacman also had support for source listings, but it didn't use debug edit. It decided to use awk instead. So it then tried to parse out all of the file paths, I don't know, from readelf, try to figure out whatever was there and sort of try to get it out. And this worked for like simple C programs, but if you threw like Rust or Go at it, it had no clue what that was at all. So it was a hack. It worked. It was in the source code for, I don't know, 6 years maybe. So I ripped that out last year. So when these packages get built and you have the debug symbols and have all the source listings, we can then sort of compile all this to some package and then distribute it to our distributions. So all our packages in Arch Linux goes to this repo.archlinux.org, which is a tier zero mirror. That's where all the packages get distributed from to all our mirrors. And on this, there's two package pools. There is from Cornextra, there's a package just dash debug pool. And for community, there's a, it's a big communities dash debug, not packages. But these are then can be fetched and distributed to all mirrors, but it's a huge amount of packages. So what we do instead is that we rsync over this to something called a debug info instance we have, which allows us to do fetch everything over HTTP instead. So debug info is a very cool microservice which is capable of getting you the source code and the symbols from binaries over HTTP. So you don't have to think about which debug packages do you need, which one do you have to download to get full backtrace. We can just point GDB at this instance and it will just fetch everything for us, which is quite nice. So it's written, maintained by the ELF Utils Maintainers. It's a web server in C in the year 2020. So it's running on, like, I think, a few distributions. Like, I think Void Linux has one, Debian has one. Debian and Ubuntu got one the past 6 months. And there's Fedora and SUSE also has several of these. So it's super simple. We can just use debug info. We can give it that this is some tar archives that you want to parse and give it a package pool. And we just set the debug info URLs variable, and then we can run GDB on the binaries, and it works. That's all you have to do to sort of make GDB read those files instead of having to distribute them. So yes, and then you can have this debug info find command line thing to fetch stuff for you, or you can use it as a library instead. Running a web server in C in 2020 is, you know, a little bit iffy. So we sort of wrote this, distributed this in sort of hardener system file. So if something gets exploited or is a CVE or something happening in that C code, you never know. It's still sort of only really contained to some fairly restrictive set of policies. So you can't escalate privileges, you can't really write anything to the system, but you can sort of just read stuff, which is quite nice. So the only really two paths this has access to on our sort of in production system is just these two package pools and some cache directory, and sort of that's everything it sees. So that's fairly quite nice. Been planning to upstream it, and I think Ubuntu and Debian uses this as well, but it's, I haven't upstreamed it properly yet, sadly. We have debug packages. We distribute it, people can use them, but we can also parse metrics from people accessing this server. So I spent a little bit of time, not quite sure how this renders. Yeah, okay. It does not like that at all. No. What? I can't zoom out. I hate this. So what you sort of see here is just some basic statistics, so what people have been doing on it. We enabled debug packages for all our packages fairly recently this year. So that's where you see the big corpus spike going straight up because we have more symbols now. But you also see that we reached 2 terabytes of data being sent out to different users the past month. So that's the last 30 days with 2 terabytes out. And you can see some statistics on how much data people are fetching, the errors, some throughput statistics. And it's sort of quite nice, and you sort of just get this from free from hosting it. Yes. So all of this infrastructure that's been put up in Arch, of course, is all open source. There's no like proprietary infrastructure. There's no like hidden files. So all the stuff we use to distribute debug info is all in our infrastructure repository under the roles of debug info. That's also how we fetch all of the packages, how we do the service management stuff, and all of those things. Yes, so I probably have more time. Yes, so one of the things I also did, because you know, debug packages is usually done on C applications and stuff, but I don't actually know C. I do Python and Go instead. So what I also spent like a lot of time on doing is to sort of try get better debug info support in Go, because that's cool. So here, just for to sort of give an example, here we're going to crash the Tailscale SSH client, because that's a nice example, I think. So this instructed the Go compiler to actually give us a core dump. And then we can use the delve debugger in Go. And it actually, with a few patches, is able to read out all the debug symbols, all of the source code, which is fetched from the debug info server as well, which is quite nice, as it will give us the more opportunities to sort of debug Go applications. It also works on Rust. It also works on Julia and whatever sort of programming languages you want, which is quite nice. So it's sort of an improvement for the entire ecosystem as well. Yes, that was it. Probably have a lot of time for questions if anybody has anything. There's a question there.
So I'm wondering what you actually store for the source. Is it the build tree, or are you trying to remove some things to save storage? Because, I mean, you have like a package,
yep.
You have an upstream source, you have patches on top of the upstream source,
yes.
And then maybe even the build process might generate sources
yes.
itself.
Yes. So not quite. I don't quite know how, but this is just a binary which are so Dwarf generates the source listing as part of the Dwarf metadata, I think. So this is all the, there's some generated optimized out sources, I think, and there's some sort of things that points around to different sources, but it will mostly just be sort of the patched up, generated, done sources which get embedded there. So it's the source listing is a nice bonus, but it's not necessarily some would normally be distributing with the binary, if that answers the question.
Yes.
Any more questions?
Thanks for using it. Could you upstream the systemd servers files?
Yes, it's been on my to-do list for a long time. It's a little bit problematic, though, because you need to figure out sort of how the paths and stuff needs to get into the servers file with some configuration file. But it can probably be done. And I think that Debian people use it as well. So yes, it should be upstreamed. yes.
Yeah, so, and we normally hide the HTTP server behind the proxy.
Yes.
That's, it's written in C++, if that helps.
Yeah, no, yes, it's actually C++, it's not C. It's the other Elf stuff that's mostly written in C, I think.
Yeah, yes. So it's a C++ program that uses lib micro HTTPD and SQLite to
yes.
store all the data.
Yeah. So we have it behind a reverse proxy to sort of get the TLS configuration going and outside, but we also just wanted the hardening there because it's easy with systemd to just get the hardening there. There's no reason to sort of not do it. So it's quite nice, but I'll try upstream it.
Thanks.
Yes.
Are those statistics on your dashboard pulled from the HTTP server he was describing, or are those from like your Nginx or whatever proxy you're using?
What? Sorry?
Are the statistics you had on your dashboard
yes.
earlier, are those pulled from the backend, or are they from like a proxy in front?
So the debug info has a /metrics, which is all Promptail. So it just exports a bunch of metrics, and you just point Promptail Prometheus on it, and then we just parse it. So that dashboard is something we made internally, which I just spent 2 weeks making, and that's also open source, so you can just fetch the JSON file for the dashboard on Grafana, and everything there is all sort of open, so you can go look at it. But it's just this sort of /metrics endpoint of debug info. So the Red Hat people actually watches this for all the debug info servers that has been deployed, and they can like look at the statistics and errors from all of different servers and see how the traffic between all of those are sort of how much is Fedora distributing compared to Arch and stuff, which is quite nice. But that part is not public, I think. But yeah, it's cool. Okay.
Can you tell us a bit about the requirements in terms of storage? Because I recently looked at another distribution and they didn't build all the packages because of lack of storage.
So that's what I'm trying to figure out now, because we enable debug symbols for all the packages, but we're not currently distributing it to our mirrors. So Arch, the total mirror size for Arch is like 60, 70, 80 gigabytes, I think, of data. But I assume like that would be several hundreds if we actually upload all the debug packages. But I think Fedora in total is like 3-4 terabytes or something. So I assume it will grow up in size, go in size 3-4 times and stuff. I know like the LLVMD stuff takes like is a 2 gigabyte package, I think, with symbols, and people try to optimize it a little bit so you get the better, so it's faster to upload. So the one sort of main issue with debug edit and sort of debug info and stuff is that you have Dwarf 5 has support for compressed sections, but debug edit does not understand the compressed sections. So you have to decompress the sections before you rewrite the paths, and there's no good way to sort of recompress everything again. So getting better support for sort of compressed Dwarf info would sort of help fix a few of those sort of space requirements, I think, on the mirrors.
Okay. Can I ask another question? Is there work on deduplication instead of compression? Because you have different version of packages as well.
So it's not that relevant for Arch, because we don't keep those versions, and we don't really do delta files on the packages. So on the Arch side of things, I don't think that's really relevant for us. But I don't know. It could probably be done at some level, at least for like Fedora or Debian that keeps multiple versions of the same package. Yes?
Small question, for which architectures are you generating those debug info binaries?
So Arch only really supports x86-64. We don't really have any other architectures. So, but because we have the 32-bit port and we have the ARM people, and I think they're just pulling our packages and probably building debug info for them, but Arch itself is not really distributing anything else than x86-64 currently.
So you mentioned different architectures. Do you know if there's a plan to upstream debug info D and in general RISC-V? Because I know Felix Jan is working on this.
Yes, I know Felix is working on it. We want to. This is more an Arch thing, but we don't have traditional build farm server setups. So it's a bit hard for us to sort of do multiple architectures because one package maintainer has to build that package for each architecture. So currently we want to have support for more architectures and better support like the V2, V3, V4 versions of that GCC now is supporting. But we currently haven't really solved that in a good way currently.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.